19. Been looking at a life that is presented in Psalm 119. We'll call it the blessed life. We saw last week that it's a life shaped by spiritual longings. So that'll be our subject again this night, this evening, part two, a life shaped by spiritual longings. We see the longings or the desires of the psalmist throughout the psalm in the things that he prayed for. And the blessed life, of course, is a life of spiritual craving. Our spiritual desires are a very sure indicator of our spiritual health. We looked at two of his prayers last week that speak of two of his desires. He had a desire for God. We see in verse 8, he prayed, "Oh, forsake me not utterly." Had a desire for God's presence in his life. He also had a desire to be attached to the Word of God. He prayed in verse 10, "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." He knew his proneness to wander. We see in verse 35, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments." And in verse 36, "Incline my heart unto thy testimony." So the blessed life is a life that has a desire to be attached to the Word of God. That brings us to our point this evening. There is a desire to be taught God's Word by God. The psalmist, realizing and very much aware and fearful of his own ignorance, prayed 9 times throughout the 119th psalm that, "Teach me, teach me." It is a prayer of one who realizes the truth of Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. Our ways are not God's ways. Here's one who had a desire to be taught the thoughts and the ways of God. It is the prayer, "Teach me." It is the prayer of one who takes the position of a student. And we must always take a position of a student. Every time we open God's Word, we ought to take the position of a student. He is the teacher. We are the student. One who takes the position of a student will be willing to hear what God has to say, will be willing to receive what God has to say, and will be willing to apply whatever instruction God gives. So the blessed life is the life of a student or a pupil of God. Teach me. This is the prayer of one who desired to be educated by God, instructed by God, indoctrinated by God, trained by God, enlightened by God. Concerning, he had this desire, to be educated, instructed, and trained in the Word of God. So again, the blessed life is a life of one who yearns to be taught the Word of God. One who yearns to be taught the Word of God by God. That God is the teacher. So it is a life lived with God as our teacher. We're constantly recognizing that God is our teacher. Now, 6 times he prayed, "Teach me thy statutes." Notice verse 12. "Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me, teach me thy statutes. Verse 26, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 64, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 68, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 124 and verse 124, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. And then verse 135, make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. So six times he prays that God would teach him, teach me. He's asking God to personally teach him something specific. Teach me thy statutes, which again is another word for prescribed, inscribed law, teaching God's law. Notice in verse 108, he again prays, teach me. Verse 108, accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgment. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me thy judgments. Again, these two prayers are a prayer that he would have a God-given knowledge concerning the contents of God's Word. That ought to be the desire of every one of us, to have a God-given knowledge. Not a man-given knowledge, but a God-given knowledge of the contents of God's Word. A God-given knowledge of the Word of God is always a soul-humbling knowledge. It always humbles the soul. I'm talking about if God gives it. If God is our teacher, it is always a soul-humbling knowledge, and it is always a transforming knowledge. Just to know truth in the head, that's not God-given, that's man-given. That can be self-given. But we're talking about a knowledge that God gives us that reaches down into our soul, that will humble us, that will transform us. The blessed life is a life of yearning. It is a life of seeking after a God-given knowledge. He prayed in verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge. So he's prayed to be taught the Word of God. Now he's praying, teach me good, or teach me righteous judgment and knowledge. The knowledge that God imparts is an awareness. It is an awareness of what God says. It's awareness of what God's Word says. It is an awareness of God. It is an awareness of God's will. Knowledge that God imparts is a consciousness. It is a realization. That is, we have a consciousness about us, about what God's Word says. That's God-given knowledge. And he prays here, teach me good judgment and knowledge. That is, give me an awareness. Give me a consciousness. Give me a realization of who you are and what your Word says. And we also pray, teach me good judgment. Judgment, of course, is the ability to properly assess, the ability to properly evaluate. And here, of course, it would be to that we would have the ability to assess and to evaluate according to God's Word. And once we have this ability to assess, once we have this ability to evaluate, this helps us in and determines the choices and the decisions that we make. So when he prays, "Teach me good judgment," he's talking about that God would grant him the ability, based on this knowledge, based on this consciousness of God, this awareness of God, that he would have the ability to assess himself, to evaluate, to assess a set of circumstances, to evaluate them according to God's Word, according to who God is, and make choices and decisions based upon that. We need that. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. So this is a prayer for discernment. Discernment. Judgment is discernment. And this judgment is based upon this God-given knowledge. Now discernment, which is judgment, discernment is the ability to perceive, the ability to recognize, and the ability to distinguish. We will be faced with a lot of issues throughout our lives, a lot of different circumstances throughout our lives. We need to have good judgment based upon a knowledge of who God is, based upon a knowledge of God's Word. That is, we need to be able to properly perceive a situation or an issue according to God's Word. We need to be able to recognize, and again, in accord with God's Word. And then, of course, there has to be the ability to distinguish. To distinguish between what God says and what man says. To distinguish between God's ways and man's ways. So it is the ability, judgment or discernment, is the ability to separate truth from error. It ought to be our desire at all times that we would be able to separate truth and error, that we would be able to see the difference, the ability to separate God's person, God's work and will from everything else that would encroach upon it. We need that knowledge. We need that discerning ability. So what this is, teach me good judgment, is a God-given understanding. It is a God-given understanding. Solomon, 1 Kings 3, verse 9, prayed, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge, to make discernments, to be able to assess, to be able to evaluate, to judge that I judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad." So this knowledge includes understanding. We need to pray that God would always give us understanding of his word. Notice in verse 27, the psalmist said, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts." Now, this is different than simply give me good judgment and knowledge. He says, "Make me." It's more intense. Make me to understand the way, not just his precepts, but the way of thy precepts. And if God would cause him to understand, this would have a definite result. "So shall I talk of thy wondrous works." You see, when you grasp something, when you understand something, you have a tendency to share it with someone else. And the psalmist realized this. He said, "If I can understand thy precepts, the way of thy precepts, then so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. He desired to declare God with his life, and he knew that a God-given understanding would enhance that. He prayed in verse 34. He said, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, and observe it with my whole heart." Give me understanding, and then there's a result, and I shall keep thy law. If someone disobeys God, they really don't have proper understanding. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, and observe it with my whole heart. The more understanding we have, the more wholehearted we will be in our obedience. So we see here that he desired to keep God's word. He desired to obey God's word. And he knew that a God-given understanding would enhance the keeping and the observing of God's word. So he prayed for that. He also prayed in verse 73, "Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." Give me understanding that I may learn. We must understand in order to truly learn. Verse 169, he says, "Give me understanding according to thy word." So all of this is a prayer for spiritual insight. It is a prayer for spiritual insight that will have practical effects in his life. He wants to be taught. He wants to understand. He wants insight from God. And the blessed life is a life of spiritual insight. It is a life of spiritual discernment, enabling one to live their life from a biblical perspective. That ought to be the desire of every one of us, to live life, every aspect of our life, to live life from a biblical perspective. Now, in order to do that, we have to be taught biblical perspective. We have to understand biblical perspective. And there is no better teacher than the Lord. So these are all prayers for spiritual insight. He desired not only a knowledge and not only an understanding concerning the contents of God's Word, but he desired that this knowledge would have a practical effect in his life. Notice verse 27. Again, he says, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts." In verse 33, he said, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes." Now he prayed, "Teach me thy precepts, teach me thy statutes." That's one thing. What he's praying here is something else. He's praying, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes." The word way, of course, speaks of a method. A method of living, a manner of living, a procedure, a practice. It's talking about practicing God's Word. And the blessed life is a life longing for the everyday, everywhere practice of the Word of God. It's not enough just to know what it says. We have to be taught the way of God's Word. We have to be made to understand the way of God's Word. So you see, the blessed life is a life living and advancing in the paths of God's Word. Not just growing in a mental knowledge or a mental assent of what God's Word says, but actually growing in the practice of God's Word. Once again, the psalmist recognizes, he's aware, and he's fearful of his own sinful tendencies. He knows the danger of those sinful tendencies. So he prays that God, over and over, he prays that God would teach him. Now, he prayed for this from another angle in verse 18. He says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Open thou mine eyes. That's another way of praying. Lord, teach me. Lord, show me. Lord, cause me to understand. Now, when he prays here in verse 18, this is the prayer of someone who realized that God's Word is filled with marvelous things, that God's Word is filled with amazing and glorious matters. And he fully believed that. He fully believed that God's Word was enriching. In verse 72... he makes the statement, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." So this is one who realizes there's great value, there's great benefit, there's great advantage to me personally in this book. He says in verse 127, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." The word is better than gold. And he says, "I love your word more than gold." Verse 162. "Rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." So the psalmist realizes that the word of God has tremendous worth, tremendous value. He sees a personal need of God's Word. He sees where God's Word can benefit him. So he prays, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold, that I might observe, that I might grasp wondrous things out of thy law." So this is a prayer that not only proceeds from the heart of one desiring and longing to what God had for him through his word, but it was one who realizes that without illumination from God, I will miss it. I will miss what God has for me. I will miss wondrous things unless God illuminates me. And how many people, most people, read the Word of God and they miss just about everything. I mean, they just miss it. And we're all going to do that unless God opens our eyes, unless God illuminates us. So here's one who is fearful of missing what God has for him. And every time we open the Word of God, whether to read it or to hear it, we ought to be praying, "Lord, open my eyes that I might grasp what you have for me." So he's praying that God would reveal whatever it is that God has for him, that God would display, that God would uncover his own heart, that God would uncover the heart of the psalmist, would remove anything that's in the way, anything that would blind his eyes to truth. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold." Again, that needs to always be our prayer, that God would teach us. You should not be afraid to examine what you believe by the Word of God. By the Word of God. It's not enough to say, I've been taught such and such all my life. That may be so, but it may be wrong. Don't be afraid to examine whatever it is. Examine it by God's Word. Don't become so narrow, focused, put yourself in a little box of your own beliefs where you miss what God's Word really says. And that's what a lot of people do. They read the Word of God in the light of simply what they believe. And we all do that to a degree, of course. But there's a great mistake there. First of all, it can lead to serious error. But secondly, you're going to miss a lot of truth. Don't be afraid to be corrected by God's Word. We've all had the experience. You read a verse of Scripture. You may have read that verse of Scripture 150 times. You may have read it 1,000 times. And then one day you read it and you think, how in the world did I miss that for the last 10 years? Because God just opened your eyes to something. It's not that He didn't open them before, but He didn't open it to that specific thing. God's Word is such a treasure of wealth that, again, He can open our eyes tonight to see certain things from a verse of Scripture, and we're still not going to get it all. 5 years from now, we may read that verse of Scripture, and we think, well, how did I miss that? Who put that word in there? I never saw that word before. But there it is. That's why we need to constantly, constantly be praying, Lord, teach me. Teach me. Open my eyes. Reveal to me, remove anything that would hinder me from seeing your truth. Don't become so, for lack of a better word, prejudiced in your belief that you can't see beyond what you believe and what God's Word says. So the blessed life is a life in pursuit of a knowledge, an understanding of what God has for us. And then it's living life being taught what God has for us and applying that to our lives. God shows us truth. And I believe as you practice the truth that God shows you, God will show more truth. But God doesn't show truth just so we can say, I know such and such. Whatever truth God shows us, it has an application in our life. So, we ought to pray for God to teach us. Along with that, we need to pray that God would cause us to remember what we've been taught. That we would not forget the things that God has shown us. Again, it's a tremendous blessing to open God's Word, pray that God would be your teacher, and then God teach. What a thrill when God shows truth. And once God shows us that truth, we ought to hold unto it. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. So it is a life lived with a desire to be taught God's Word. It's also a life, a desire for the enabling grace of God. The older you and I get, the more we ought to realize that we need the grace of God. The older we get, the more amazing God's grace ought to seem to us, the more we ought to long for God's grace. Notice in verse 17, he says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word." Again, this is the prayer of one, I believe, who realizes his own sinfulness, realizes that he has infirmities and incapacities, and he prays that God would deal with him in grace. Deal bountifully, that's grace, with thy servant. Now, he's not praying that God would deal bountifully with him, servant being a merit, but he is praying from the standpoint of a servant. And the blessed life can only be lived from the standpoint of his servant. We must realize we are his servants. You cannot live the blessed life until you come to that knowledge of truth. I am the servant of God. So he's praying from the standpoint of a servant. And it is the desire here of one wanting to be blessed by God in a special way. Now, he says, deal. The word deal here means to manage. Manage thy servant. Means to treat. You deal with a person. You treat them in a certain way. Means to handle. It means to distribute. And when we think of God managing us, when we think of God's treatment of us, how God handles us, how God distributes to us, you better pray for grace. Because if not, you're not going to be very happy with what happens. So he says, deal bountifully. That is, generously, abundantly, benevolently. Again, he's praying for grace. Now, why should we pray that way? Is it wrong to pray for God to bless us? Of course not. But we need to have a good reason for praying that way. Do we pray that way just because we want to be happy or because we think we deserve it? That's a wrong reason. That's erroneous. But notice what he says here. He says, deal bountifully with thy servant that, or in order, that I may live and keep thy word. He is praying that God would bless him in a special way. Why? So that he could live. So that he could live for God. So that he could keep the word of God. So that he could obey the word of God. We ought to pray that God would bless us. And the reason being is so that we can serve him for his honor and for his glory. We ought to pray that God would bless one another so that each one of us can serve God for his honor and for his glory. It's not deal bountifully because I'm thy servant. That's not what it is. It's just deal bountifully with thy servant. It's a servant making a plea to his master. I am the servant. And master, I'm asking you to deal bountifully with me, to give me grace in order that I can live in the context would be for him, and that I could keep or obey, carry out the work of the master. So he's praying for the enabling grace of God. It's exactly what God told Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee. We ought to pray every day that God would deal bountifully with us in order that we can be and do what we ought to be and do. We ought to pray for God to teach us for the same reason, that we might serve Him, that we might bring honor and glory to His name. So, the one living the blessed life knows that God's grace is sufficient. For whatever the need, God has grace for it. And it's not just words to pray, Lord, give them grace. It's something that every one of us desperately need. We need grace every single day in the enabling power of God. Life, of course, has many sorrows. Life has many heartaches. There's much distress. There's many disappointments. All of this takes grace. There's chaos. There's turmoil. There's fear. And again, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. Again, a lot of people, a lot of God's people today are very fearful of what might happen. God's grace is sufficient. And whatever grace you will need, God has it. We need to just pray that God would teach us and that God would enable us to do and be what we ought to be. We spend a lot of time praying that God would change circumstances when we would be better off praying that God would change us for whatever the circumstances are, by teaching us, by enabling us. So in the course of life, of course, there's a variety of storms, there's a variety of temptations, there's a variety of battles, there's a variety of struggles. You may go through a temptation that I won't, you may face a battle that I won't, and vice versa. And we may have common battles, common struggles, common temptations, but there's no end to these things. But God's grace is sufficient. In the course of life, there's going to be change. In the course of life, there's going to be some upheaval. In the course of life, humanly speaking, there's going to be some uncertainty. But God's grace is sufficient. And we need to pray that God would change us. So he prays, deal bountifully with thy servant, that, or in order, that I may live and keep thy word. So he desires that God would deal with him in a generous way. We ought to desire that. We ought to desire that God would deal with us in a generous way. Not because of who we are. Not because we think we deserve that. But certainly you ought to want God to deal with you in a generous and abundant and a benevolent way, so that you can be and do what God would have you to be and do. So, the blessed life is a life lived longing to obey God, longing to be like His Son. And that requires a strength outside of us. That requires the enabling power of God. That requires the grace of God. So we see two things tonight. There is a desire to be taught and to be taught of God. That ought to be our desire. God does use men to teach, but God needs to be our teacher. That's when we truly learn, when God shows it to us. And then it ought to be our desire that God would give us enabling grace. Why? Because we want Him to get the glory. We want to be able to live for Him. We want to be able to obey Him. And we know that in order to do that, we need Him to deal bountifully with us. And we're not to receive that grace in vain. God deals bountifully with you. You don't misuse what God has bountifully bestowed upon you. You're asking for it. And people receive the grace of God in vain. God bestows grace. Don't misuse it. Don't misuse it. God gives you an ability. Don't misuse that ability. God gives you a knowledge. Don't misuse that. Whatever it is. God gives you an opportunity. God gives you another chance. On and on we can go. Don't misuse. That's misusing the grace of God. That's a terrible sin. All sin is terrible. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us.